afternoon. Today is Thursday, July the 11th, 191st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, College of the Redwoods President, Kathy Smith. It's been a year. Has it been a year?
I got here May 12th or May 14th of 2012. Yes.
So I'm only a month behind.
Maybe two.
But you snubbed us the first couple of months, so that's okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe, huh? Only two. This afternoon, was get a little update on the accreditation status of CR. You may or may not be aware, but City College of San Francisco, I don't know, is it fair to say went down the tubes? But kind of, they're if not down, they're really close to slipping down. So we'll talk about that as a worst-case scenario. Catch up on where Redwoods is right now. Joe has got his sports banquet coming up in the athletic department in the next little bit, so we'll spend some time talking about that. And Kathy wants more bosses. We'll explain what that means also when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Anais Nin. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. Okay, it's not that heavy, but that's okay. It's summertime and it's sunny outside, so who cares? I think our conversation about blueberries was as interesting as that quote.
No, that quote was good. We do see things as we are, or we see things as we want them to be.
You didn't come up through the philosophy department, did you?
No, accounting is a long way from philosophy.
I thought that was kind of 180 degrees, but I thought you'd get a chance there to clear the air.
Right.
Quick comment about the budget. Gary Eagles was in Monday and said that the little bit of backfill for the K-12. How did the community colleges fare with this budget as it finally came down?
Well, we still don't have our final numbers, and we will not have our final numbers for a while. In fact, the final budget numbers for the 2012-13 year that ended June 30th will not be at the individual community colleges until next February. We have several steps to go before then. At this
now, how does that happen? Don't you have to submit as an individual campus?
You do submit your registration documents, your FTES, your full-time equivalent students,
right.
But based upon what everybody else submits, they do a recalculation in October, November.
So you get a percentage of whatever your percentage is of the state
enrollment,
and then you get that out of the pool.
It's based upon the number of students that you have, and the colleges that are growing more rapidly will get some additional growth money when that's in the budget, whereas the colleges that aren't will not get that addition, but they don't know how much everybody gets until they know how much everybody has grown. So
it's kind of like sending your money away to the IRS and hoping for a refund at the end of the year?
That would be nice. We're not hoping. We know we're not going to get that refund. I will say that one thing that differs with the community colleges than with K-12 is that when property taxes are estimated and are not received at the level that they were estimated, that we do not get that backfill. So we don't get that money recouped. So we are still looking at what we call a deficit factor for the 12-13 year. We have an estimated deficit factor on the books right now. We don't know how much it will be, but we're looking at around $400,000 would be deducted from our budget, but we're prepared for that. It's a normal situation in community colleges.
No wonder they hired an accountant to be the president. Jeez.
But I did hear Dr. Eagles talking about the deferrals, and we will benefit from that cash flow wise. Doesn't do anything to revenues on the accounting, is the accounting sense of the word, but it does something to our cash flow.
That's a nice thing.
That is a very nice thing. So they will be out of the adopted budget. They will be paying us for some of the money that they owed us from previous years.
Backfilling.
It's kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you really don't have a clue then what your budget is, or you guys shoot for 95% and hope it plays out at that level.
We feel we have a pretty good estimate, but it won't be exact until later. But there haven't been major changes at the end of the year. There could potentially be.
I heard that. Yes. Catch your breath a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And so going into next year, there is some additional funding on the table. We will find out in August how the state chancellor's office has decided to allocate that out. And part of the changes that we're going to be seeing is that, and it won't be fully implemented this year, probably fully implemented in 2015, but they're going to be allocating some of the money out not based upon just number of students, but based upon performance and how we are doing with certain indicators such as student success and retention and completion rates and graduates.
Well, that's a whole interesting topic, the concept of completion and not dropping out, because I know it's a quagmire for high school kids. Because one high school district doesn't talk to another state, and you don't have a clue. You know, if the freshman started, let's say, in Arcata, and the family moved to Arkansas, did they graduate or not? Did they drop out or not? Or San Diego instead of Arkansas? You don't know if the kid made it through or not. This sounds even more complicated than that one. Is there any way really to kind of put things together so if somebody starts at Redwoods, ends up at, I don't know, pick a school, junior college, will you be able to track that?
If they're within the California Community College system, we would be able to track that. But part of our issue has to do with what does it mean to be a completer? If you come to the college and take the classes that you need to improve in your job and to meet the goal that you had, but you don't get a degree, are you a completer? You got what you wanted out of that community college education.
But didn't necessarily walk away with an AA.
Correct. Or if you get the classes you want and you transfer to, you know, Chico or HSU or UC.
Or even within the state, they'll get lost.
If it's a four-year school that you're transferring to and you transfer without getting your AA degree first, can we count them as a completer? Because they didn't get their associate's degree, but they have been successful and they've transferred on.
And you thought the budget was tough. Oh, boy. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith from College of the Redwoods. Kathy, the concept with the budget and trying to play the game a little bit, the challenge, I would think, in addition to what you've already shared, is you've also got staffing issues hooked to whatever these numbers may end up be and projected to whatever they might be. But it's all done, what, March, April, somewhere in that neighborhood. So how do you project the future if you don't know where you are currently and you don't know what the state's going to do for you, and try to handle everything you need to at the same time, still achieving the mandates that the community has, that the board has, that the organization has?
Well, that's a very good question. The primary date that we have to work with as far as faculty go is March 15th. And March 15th notices if we are going to decrease our faculty ranks. We have much more flexibility than the K-12s have because we have a lot of faculty teaching for us that are just associate part-time faculty, and it's not their full-time job. And they work on a contract-by-contract basis. When we're talking about the management staff or the classified support staff, then we're talking about a little bit more flexibility in that we have 60 days that if we do need to release somebody, we can do so 60 days. But it is a struggle because you are committing and signing contracts in, you know, the spring when you have no idea what your budget's going to be in the next year.
Yeah, and I don't suppose an asterisk saying ish.
No,
really works that well.
That one doesn't work. We did just at the board meeting on Tuesday, just the board approved a resolution that was tied to a second reorganization for next year. And so we are reorganizing a bit. We're not filling vacant positions. We had a couple more layoffs, and we have people wearing many different hats, doing many different things, and people are working really hard out there.
So with the reorganization, version 2.0,
yes.
Does that mean different class offerings, different times that the classes are being offered, different size classes? I mean, how does that translate down to the classroom, or is it even classroom related?
It's not classroom related. There certainly will be some emphasis on offering some classes that are in the bottleneck areas that we've talked about before, as far as students that get backed up because they can't get the English and the math and the biology and the speech and all the classes that are required. So we're trying to add some more classes in those areas, what we have for fall. And so some of the other classes that were more optional classes and electives, we won't have as many of those. So that does affect personnel as far as the associate faculty, part-time faculty go. But the reorganization primarily has to do with administration and support staff. We are trying to get by, since teaching is our primary objective and student success is our goal, we're trying to get by with decreasing the dollars spent on the support side and making sure that the faculty are in place to carry out our mission.
I thought learning was the primary, not teaching.
Student success.
Touché, baby, huh?
Student success is our goal. I'm sure there's both teaching and learning going on.
Well, one would like to think, wouldn't they?
Yes.
So what's the current update with the accreditation process? I know it wasn't necessarily tied to the academic year, but what's the current word on that?
Well, we were notified in February that we had been taken off our show cause sanction. And so, but because they wanted to make sure that we were still making progress on some of the standards that we were noted as being deficient on last year, we are going to be preparing an October 15th report to be filed this year. And we will submit that to the Accrediting Commission. And very similar to last year, we will have a visiting team come to the college in November. And then in January, we will be invited to go to the commission meeting and visit with them. And so next February, we'll get, at their decision.
So it's kind of making sure you're staying on the right track.
Correct. It's called a progress report. I've talked about before, there's three level of sanctions, and so we're still on a sanction. We're just not on the show cause, most severe sanction. So we hope to get off completely, and we hope that our report that we file in October will be the basis for that.
So in February 14, it could be regular school.
Yep. Well, it's still regular school.
Or extraordinary school.
Extraordinary school, yeah. Yes.
You really need me as your PR guy, huh? Sure.
I will say that the getting off of show cause, I think, has really affected the community's view of the college and the enrollments. We've had a summer that's been amazing. And I think just the news that we've gotten off show cause and we're fixing our budget issues and doing all those things, I think people are coming back to the college, which is what we need them to do.
Summertime enrollment, is it full-time enrollment that's up, or kids home from summer taking a class or two, or people trying to retool for viability in the marketplace? What,
you know, I don't have stats on that right now. I will say that with my history of working at community college for many years, generally the students, you know, the majority of the students are part-time students year-round. And so they may take two or three classes fall and spring and take another one or two in the summer because they work and they have families and all of that.
They have a life?
Yes. I would say the younger
I love these pauses she takes. It's right in the middle of these comments I make.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond to some of your comments.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. No big deal.
Well, the younger traditional students that are full-time students in the fall and spring, if they come back in the summer, it might only be for one class, or they just might choose to sit out in the summer like they did through high school because they're, you know, have other things to do.
Money, money, money. Oh. Mm-hmm. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Kathy Smith.
You want hot buys on furniture and appliances? You've got them during Burns Furniture's July Hot Buy Savings Event. Choose your new 7-piece living room group starting at just $899.95. In Burns Sleep Center, the new Serta Eye Comfort mattresses are the latest innovation. Or select your Englander mattress set in twin to king sizes. All with free local delivery and easy financing options. Hot buys on furniture and appliances during July at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith from College of the Redwoods. Kathy, we talked a little bit before the break about the accreditation and Redwood's current status and where you kind of came from and what the future looks like. What does the future look like for City College of San Francisco that is, they went the other way.
They didn't
respond. Do they get the doors shut down?
Not yet. What they have received is a decision by the commission to revoke their accreditation effective July of 2014. So they're given 1 year to appeal the process and to continue working on the issues that they had. They had 14 recommendations and to continue working on that. But what has happened with them is they have increased, or the state chancellor's office has increased their involvement in what's happening at City College of San Francisco.
You mean they lost their autonomy?
They lost their autonomy. Okay. The local board in San Francisco will be replaced by a special trustee. The special trustee will have extraordinary powers, as they call it, and he will be the one that will be making the decisions on behalf of the board. Now, the board is still an elected board. And if it happens the way it happened at Compton College down in Southern California, the board will still be at the board meetings and we'll have discussion and input, but the decisions will be made by the special trustee.
But there'll be no voting by them.
Perhaps,
or no binding vote.
Yes, perhaps an advisory vote.
Yeah. Holy cow. So one guy basically is going to be running the show that's coming from the state trying to address these issues within a year.
But it also takes a partnership with the president of the college. So the special trustee and the president will be working together with the board members. And
lots of lunches together.
I don't know about the lunches. I will say that what did happen down there is that the college community, faculty, staff, administrators, whomever, they fought the accreditation decision, and that did not bode well for them.
Is there a history of anybody fighting against and actually winning?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of. Well, we must adhere to accreditation standards, and if we don't, then we have, sanctions that we have to be placed on and follow.
And the students have issues, and also with some of their scholarship funding, don't they, and loans? And
if this goes through to July of 2014 and they are removed from accreditation and accredited status, then two things happen. One, the classes that the students take after that point will not be transferable. And so they
become a vocational school.
After that point, not right now. Their classes are still accredited right now. And also then the federal financial aid that many of our students receive, such as Pell Grants, will not be able to be received by students if they are not going to an accredited institution. So that would be devastating. My assumption is that just having the decision made by the commission to revoke their accreditation will greatly decrease their enrollments this year.
They're over 20,000, weren't they?
85,000 students.
Comfortably over 20,000.
Yes, 85,000 students.
People.
They have 9 campuses in the city and around. And there's major concern and political figures, the lieutenant governor and the mayor of San Francisco. Many people are in there trying to help and see what they can do to help save this college.
85,000. That's just such a huge number.
So one of the differences and the problems that they have had in the past is I think that our personnel costs are fairly high. We have had about 84-85% of our expenditure spent on personnel. At City College of San Francisco, was in the 92-93% range.
There's no wiggle room.
There's no money for discretionary costs, for supplies, for professional development, for lots of things.
Maintenance
would be
Holy
good,
Toledo.
Too. Yes.
So was that just contracts going amok, or undercharging for what the services are?
I
How do
can't,
you get that yeah. spot?
I can't answer that. I will say that one of the statements that I have heard from them is that they chose to place their money directly in support of the students. So they chose to hire more teachers and more counselors and more support staff to help the students, and that was a conscious decision. But, there have been two reports by the fiscal management, crisis management assistance team from the state level. And so the latest report maybe came out this week. I haven't seen it yet, but there'd be more details in there. I just don't know them.
Holy Toledo.
I just...
That's got to be a gut check, I would think, for anybody in the state junior college or community college system. I mean, if something like that school goes down,
mm-hmm.
that's a ton for somebody to pick up, or for the state education system to lose, and they go outside of the state of California.
Well, and that's the concern, that we would lose them. At one point last year, there were 3 colleges on show cause at the same time. We were one of them, and City College of San Francisco, and then Cuesta College, and both College of the Redwoods and Cuesta College got off show cause, and City College of San Francisco went the other way and will lose their accreditation. So, the odds were there, and with fighting the accrediting commission, we were at one point concerned that they might make an example of one of those colleges, and we were just hoping.
Apparently they didn't need to.
Right.
Yeah, giving the flying fickle finger of fate to your funding entity.
Well,
that's a gutsy move.
Well, it was difficult. The accrediting commission is not their funding entity, but it is.
No, but the state is.
Yeah,
the state's standing right behind them.
That is correct.
Yeah, so, holy Toledo.
Yeah, so it's a difficult situation. We don't know what will happen to those students.
You weren't offered that job, were you?
No, thank you. And there are many other community colleges around the San Francisco area, but the whole mission of community college is to provide education in your local community. You don't want to have to, get on a bus to go a half hour to get to the college or whatever. So it's only if you live
in McKinleyville.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't have said a half hour. Probably an hour, 2 hours, whatever.
Yes. KINS, News and Information Time, hits 3:43. We'll be back with more from Kathy Smith.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. There it is. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Kathy, you got a couple of different things that are unrelated to budgets and accreditation that are kind of the fun stuff. The sports banquet. I know Joe's Hash has done some stuff this year that's getting the community, again, enthused a little bit. He's got the baseball program back, using some local folks and things of that nature. How much does it mean to the school to have not a sports banquet, but to have a viable athletic department with sports teams that are competitive, at least?
Well, that's a good question. I think you're going to find different opinions about on the answer of that. I think, one of the things that athletics brings to our college or any college is just the diversity. We don't have as much demographic differences in Humboldt County as in many other areas, and the diversity that we bring in for some of these teams helps all of our students learn about different practices and different cultures and all of that. So that's one thing. And also, when we talk about having a team that's made up of some local players and some that are from outside the community, I think when you look at the value of bringing in talent that can help your team win, then it entices the local community to send their students here as well. You don't want to join a team that's not a winner. And so, we do value, and I think in general, the board of trustees, in general, values the sports program and the sports banquet. And so, we want to make sure that as we plan for the future and reorganize and see what programs that we're going to end up with in the long term out there, that we somehow weigh in on the sports. We have a lot of facilities dedicated to athletics, and if we need to make sure that we keep them available for what they were designed to be and get our students involved in extra activities.
If somebody was making out their will and then dropped dead tomorrow and left the school $1 million for the athletic program, care of Kathy Smith. So it's your call. You don't have to run it through. Where would you spend money in the athletic department or in the athletic program that would achieve whatever your vision is for athletics at Redwoods?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'm going to say that $1 million's not quite enough. I need a couple.
Dear, you
more.
Can buy 3 shoes. Well, I need 5.
Right. Our needs there. I know it's frustrating sometimes for the folks, the coaches.
Make it $10 million.
$10 million.
We'll throw a zero on there.
I can deal with $10 million. One of the things that that I love about the sports banquet is that it gets people in the community together and all surrounding the athletes and all the teams, and that's fun to get together, and it's but should we really be making the athletic department raise their money to run their program. And that's an issue. And I understand that. But as our budgets have been cut and they wanted to continue to provide the same services, they have chosen to do that. And I think it's wonderful. But if we had $10 million, we wouldn't necessarily have to do all the fundraising. We could have a banquet and be friend-raising and have a good time and not necessarily do all the fundraising. But one of the things that we're faced with right now is the age of our facilities, and especially the community stadium.
So a lot of investment, reinvestment.
A lot of reinvestment in the facilities, absolutely.
Well, good. And maybe make it look snappy. You will work on it, okay?
Okay.
Fine. Too many weird words in this show, I can tell. You're feeling a little funny right now. Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Kathy Smith. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.